Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We're locally grown radio. Your host, James J. behind the mic. I'm joined by Melissa K.
Good morning. Good morning.
We got some good stuff lined up for you this morning. We're going to get into the fresh off the presses, the recent Oscar nominees. Get into some of the big categories here. We got them for you. They haven't even been released for 20 minutes yet, and we're going to get to them live and direct. Got that coming up. We still got to touch on this this one about different teeth whitening products. I want to get into that.
Oh, I'm interested in that.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good one. And I got some good stories today, too, and some That Ain't Right stories, a bunch of other fun stuff we're going to get to. We are lead you into Morning Magazine, our first one of the week, where in part one, we're going to kick things off with Katie Wright in the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Katie's going to bring in Ray Blossfield, Blossfield of the leadership class. We're going to talk a little bit about that and other great things going on with the chamber. Good. And we'll be joined by our friends from the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center in part two. Looking forward to that.
Excellent.
Of course, a little later today on this here radio station at WFHR at 7 o'clock, we'll have Governor Tony Evers' State of the State Address.
Yes.
That will be our pregame for that, if you will be an extended Devil's Advocate program from starting at 6.
Mm-hmm.
And on our sister station, WIRI, Wiscountry 105.5 at 710, Assumption Boys Basketball, as they host Newman, Randy Paul on the call, Don going to run the board, going to sound good.
Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to that a little bit later as well. Exciting, fun day around here at the stations. So, taking a look at the Oscar nominees that were just announced. Now, I'm just going to take a look at some of the bigger categories. Best Supporting Actress, Best Supporting Actor, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best in Film, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, let's go through some of these big ones. Best Supporting Actress, Stephanie Hsu for Everything Everywhere All at Once, along with Jamie Lee Curtis for that movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Carrie Condon from The Banshee of Inisherin. Hong Cha from The Whale. And man, does this feel good. Angela Bassett for Black Panther Wakanda Forever.
Oh, good.
Not one bad performance from any of those actresses. Every one of them are deserving. I love, love, love Angela Bassett. I think she is one of the greatest actors I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen that woman do a bad syllable in acting, let alone a bad scene. And I do think it'd be pretty cool to see her win for Wakanda Forever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those times where you don't even have to watch the movie. Watch the trailer. Watch what you see her do in that trailer, and you'll know, okay, if that's even a glimpse, if that's what they're giving me for free, what are they charging me for? Like, because her performance is, there's nothing but great actors in those movies, and they did a great job casting that movie. But you see the difference of legend and great. Like, there's great actors all over the place in that movie. And then she walks in and like, okay, well, that's the difference.
That's the next level.
Yeah, yeah. Best Supporting Actor, Ki-Hoo Kwan for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Barry Coogan for The Banshees of Inisherin. Judd Hirsch for The Fabelmans. Great to see Judd Hirsch's name in there. One of my favorite young actors, Brian Tyree Henry for Causeway. Man, it'd be really cool to see him win. It'd also be really cool to see Brendan Gleeson win, a great character actor for a very, very long time. Usually plays bad guys in movies and things. Really good actor, though. Looking at Best Lead Actress, and this is going to be one of the more competitive years for this. Michelle Yeoh for Everything Everywhere All at Once. I love and adore her. Michelle Williams for The Fabelmans. I love and adore her. Andrea Riseborough for To Leslie. I love and adore her. Anna de Armas. You're noticing a trend here. Anna de Armas for Blonde, where she played Marilyn Monroe. And the legend Cate Blanchett for Tar.
Ah, I like Cate Blanchett a lot.
Huge fan of Miss Blanchett. I am a diehard fan of Michelle Yeoh. She's one of those actors that, similar to like Carl Urban and some other actors out there, where I've been hoping they would get a good role, like just an opportunity. Just let them get that one opportunity to lead a film and show what they can do. And she got that with Everything Everywhere All at Once. And for an Asian woman at her age to be able to get a lead role is one thing, but then it's an action movie. and she kicks butt in it. She's amazing in it. I'd love to see her win. I will say Kate Blanchett has won the Academy Award before. So she won for her portrayal of Katharine Hepburn in the biopic, the Avatar movie, the Aviator movie.
Okay.
And I believe she won her Best Supporting Actress for that and won an Academy Award for, darn it, I can't think of it. But she's a good actor. Michelle Yao has never won anything. I don't even think she's been nominated. Possibly has been, but I don't think she's even been nominated. So love to see her win that one.
Yes.
For those that don't know, when you're a member of the Screen Actors Guild, you get to nominate these people and get to vote on these things. And when I sent in my votings, they kind of tell you keep this to yourself and everything. But in today's day and age, they don't really like hold you to that too hard. So I think that they're more curious about getting people to actually watch the Oscars than those things, which is smart on their part.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get people to watch what you're putting out there.
Best lead actor, Austin Butler for Elvis, kind of the leading favorite right now to many people. Colin Farrell for The Banshees of Inisherin. Colin Farrell's really turned his career around, man. Hey, he's good. He's always been good, but he's really taken it to another level. The great Bill Nighy for Living. Great actor. God, just such a good actor. Paul Menskal for After Sun. After Sun, a good flick from what I'm hearing. I got to see that one. And a movie that was just a hard one to watch, but man, was it a great one. Brendan Fraser from The Whale. That was my personal choice. That's who I chose. I think should win.
Yeah.
I won't lie. I'm a big fan of Brendan Fraser's already. But his performance, if you watch his performance, you'd be hard pressed not to say he should win. Austin Butler
I've been hearing really good things about that movie. Like, it's powerful.
Yeah, it really is. Best director, Martin McDonagh for The Banshees of Inisherin. Daniel Kwan and Daniel Shire for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Todd Field for Tar. Ruben Ostolan for Triangle of Sadness, and Steven Spielberg for The Fabelmans. Spielberg has actually not won Best Director very often.
Really?
I think he's won it once, if not twice. I believe he won for Schindler's List, and he may have won another one. I think he won for Best West Side Story, actually, or the other year. I'm not sure, but hasn't actually won it as many times as we might think. But I think he might win this year. I think it may be one of those years where no huge standout person for Best Director. And how about Best Picture? Well, Best Picture, looking at the list, All Quiet on the Western Front from Malto Gerner producers, Avatar The Way of Water, The Banshee of Inisherin, Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fabelmans, Tar, Triangle of Sadness, Women Talking, and not surprisingly to some, but very surprising to others, Top Gun Maverick. Interesting to see, but if you're going to insert superhero movies and Avatar and these things, why wouldn't you put Top Gun Maverick in there? It was the biggest box office movie, you know, outside of the, you know, Avatar and Black Panther and all that stuff. It was pretty huge. And again, the Oscars, awards are nice and all that. I think that it's kind of like understood now that there's a lot of politics involved in these things. There's a lot of other factors involved, and very seldom does the person who is given the best performance get the role. And, oh yeah, there's no way to prove this. There's no scientific method. In sports, we've got this. Two best teams end up in the Super Bowl more times than not, and whoever wins, that's the best team of the year. Like, they compete for the said thing. It's ridiculous to compare what Brendan Fraser did to prepare for the role of the whale to what Austin Butler did to play Elvis. They're two completely different worlds. When they say apples and oranges, this is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. To have actors compete for these things is one of the silliest things in human history to me. And that's saying something. But this is what award shows are all about. Hey, we get you to watch the award show. Maybe we get you to see the movie. You spend your money, et cetera, et cetera. We all understand how the game works, but I'd be remiss if I didn't call them out on the idiocracy of what this is. It truly is. I mean, it's my field. It's my livelihood. If I won an Oscar, like, I talk a good game about awards and everything. If I won an Oscar, I would give it to my mom and dad. If I didn't give it to them, I would walk around with it everywhere.
You'd sew a special pocket on one of your clothes.
You know the little baby carrying things they have?
Yeah, like a wrap thing that you wear around your, a little backpack.
James, is that an Oscar? Why, yes, it is. I won for Best Supporting Actor.
Would you like to see it? Don't touch it.
This is a make-believe story, and I still even... I didn't even give myself best actor. I gave myself best supporting actor. entertainment-wise, I think that kind of wraps that up and everything. It wasn't a whole lot there that I wanted to get into in that world, but anything stand out to you as far as... And I know that this isn't necessarily your wheelhouse, Melissa, but it's part of the reason why I ask you, actually, is that...
Well, I do want to see Tar because Cate Blanchett is in it, and eventually I'd like to see The Whale, but I don't typically watch movies in the movie theater, unless it's something that I really want to see on the big screen.
Yeah.
But I can't even tell you the last time that happened.
Zoe Saldana, I think I'm saying her name right. She's a great actor. You've seen her in Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame. She's part of the Guardians of the Galaxy crew. She just did something no actor has ever done before. Zoe Saldana became the first actor to have four films make over $2 billion at the worldwide box office.
Wow.
Avatar The Way of Water just surpassed $2 billion. The other three movies are the ones I mentioned, the first Avatar, and then the other two Avengers movies. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Good for her. That also is the first thing and only thing on my resume going forward. Easily. Like, you've got a great career. You've got this role. I don't see them on your resume. Yeah, because what do you really care about? If it's an independent film or something like that, it might be different. But for the movies she's auditioning for, that's the only thing I'd need on my resume.
I just saw her in The Adam Project, and that was actually, it was a really good movie.
I heard it was really good. That's cool.
It's absolutely worth watching. Probably more than once.
We talk about the Oscar nominations, but we should probably, like we do with our good stories and then a right stories, and, you know, we have the good and the bad, the yin and the yang. While we talk about the Oscars, we should talk about the Razzies.
The Razzies.
The Razzies are for, they are the anti-Oscars. They are for the horrible performances. They give out awards for these. This has been done for a very long time, and to me, some of the better actors that really don't take the... can walk the line of taking the job serious when the director says action, and as soon as they say cut, can take it realistically. Like, I get to play make-believe for a living, you know? Like, that's my job. Like, they can balance both. Seth and I were talking about this off-air the other day. Halle Berry has shown up at the Razzies before to accept an Oscar. Other big-name actors have, not an Oscar, but to accept an award, you know?
The Razzie Award.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's really cool. The actors, to get bent out of shape about this, I don't think you understand your industry. You realize if people are talking about you, that's what awards are about.
That's good. That's any press is good press.
That's the way the industry works. And the Golden Raspberry Award nominees were announced last night and the night before the Oscars announcements, as always. Blonde leads the pack with 8 nods, including Worst Picture, and not Worst Actress. Anna de Armas did not get nominated for that, like often happens. But she was nominated for a Best Oscar for Best Actress. And second with 7 nods was Good Morning, a movie written, directed, and starring Machine Gun Kelly. well, what did you expect? And Tom Hanks got 3 nominees and two different movies, Pinocchio and Elvis.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And the Razzies stirred up a little more controversy than usual this year by nominating 12-year-old actress Ryan Keir Armstrong from Firestarter. That is just plain mean. I think that they were trying to be inclusive and to not like pull their punches. And I think, in fact, you actually, you know, you went all out and made a full punch. There's a line in the sand for me. It's similar to sports, where if I'm at a sporting event and I'm talking trash to the other team, that's one thing. But if you bring up family or kids or get too personal, that's a line you don't cross. That you don't do that. That's when you become a punk and a coward. Right? There's certain lines we don't cross in life. I think that's one of them there with that.
Well, when you're 12, that's hard to take something like that. I don't know, in stride.
I'll also say, too, I didn't think she was a bad actor. I think she did a really good job. So I also don't think it's even fair. Go ahead, Melissa.
I didn't see Firestarter.
I did not see the whole film. I saw when it comes to nominating things for the Oscars and the SAG Awards, they will send you clips of things if you have not seen the whole movie. And that was one of those ones that for special effects had gotten some nods. So I got to see some of her performance through that. And I didn't think she was bad at all. I thought she did a pretty good job.
Well, she did. She was in a show that I did watch, Anne with an E, but I'm trying to see. That was quite some time ago. So she must have been really young in that one.
Basically, the big pull from this is Morbius. But Morbius was nominated for Worst Picture, Worst Actor for Jared Leto, basically a ton of things. Morbius, the awards that Morbius is going to win this year is that. I'd like to see a separate category for production companies. For a number of reasons. For, you know, they're the ones that greenlight these things and everything. But also... they were the ones that listened to Twitter and decided, hey, Morbius is trending on Twitter. Well, I'm not going to go ahead and take the extra step and dig why it's trending. I'm just going to take that as we should re-release it in theaters. So not only did Morbius like bomb horribly the first time, but it bombed even worse a second time. I mean, that should be a special category right there. And to do something like that, I would think.
Yeah.
We will take a break. We'll come back. We'll get into some That Ain't Right story, good stories of the day, and have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you to hang out and have some fun. We'll take you right up to the top of the hour. We got some good things to do that with, too. Like this one right here that comes to us from UPI.com. This is interesting. A Rhode Island police department said it was granted the request of a young resident to have the remains of a cookie and some carrots DNA tested to determine if Santa Claus bit them. The Cumberland Police Department said in a news release it received a letter this month from a young investigator seeking to have a partially eaten Oreo cookie and some baby carrot sticks DNA tested to identify whether they were indeed eaten by old Saint Nick on December 25th. Quote, this young lady obviously has a keen sense of truth and investigative process and did a tremendous job packaging her evidence for submission.
Oh, cool.
We will do our very best to provide answers for her, Chief Matthew J. Benson said in the press release. The food was passed along to the state of Rhode Island's Department of Health Forensic Sciences Unit for analysis, Benson said. Benson said the department already provided the girl with some uncovered evidence in support of Santa Claus' presence in her neighborhood, a photo of a deer in the area on Christmas Eve.
That's cute.
I mean, we don't really have anything we can add to this one. I just want to spread this story as much as we can.
Well, like we talked about earlier, the police station's doing just excellent work on social media and outreach to be inclusive, you know. And then also the public going to the police. With evidence.
Yep, this little girl took that initiative.
Yeah.
I love the idea is if they did this and like they actually did get like some foreign DNA or something like that. Like it wasn't mom or dad or anything like that. It's just like, well, wait a minute. What's going on here?
This is actual like reindeer saliva on these carrots.
Hold up.
They had reindeer in Rhode Island.
Wait a second here. Like, wouldn't that be the big bombshell? Like that, yep. If all that turned out to be real.
They're astonished. Yeah. The police station. This started as a joke, guys, but hold on. Wait, we need to rethink this.
Do we actually have to look into the whole breaking and entering thing here? Do we have to?
This is the next. It's a movie plot.
Yeah,
it is. You know, sent in to debunk. It's the new Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, there you go. It's the modernization of a Miracle on 34th Street. There you go. Yep, there it is.
Not in the court system, in the police precinct.
I like it. And you hit it on the head, Melissa. A big shout out to that New Hampshire Police Department. Just so many of these departments doing such an amazing job with their social media campaigns and everything. It's very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
I did want to mention real quickly again, just Pet of the Week. Wanted to touch on that just real quick. Yeah, Thursday, we have our Pet of the Week. Every Thursday, you can join us in the start of the 9 o'clock hour as our friends from the Southfield County Humane Society, Madison, stops by with one of our new furry best friends.
Last week was a kitty.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to whatever animal joins us this week. We've been really, really spoiled by this. And and by that, I mean not just spoiled by having these animals come in and Madison and the great workers over there at the Southfield County Humane Society and what they do, but also by our local great sponsors, our great businesses helping us bring this to you every and let you know about these awesome furry friends.
Mm-hmm. We've had Bow Wow Meow.
Eway Sales and Services.
Yep.
Yeah. And this week, Cotton Thimble.
Oh, yeah. Cotton Thimble.
Cotton Thimble, quilting classes, large variety of fabrics and knowledge. Carol is the owner. When you stop by there, be sure to say hi from all of us at WFHR.
Fabric people are fun people.
Yeah, they are.
And they just are.
We want more people to help us keep this going. And if you want to be a part of this, all you got to do is call our great, amazing, wonderful sales staff. They're the best in the business. Give them a call. Give us a call at 424-1300. Pam will put you in touch with Ashley or Steph, and we'll get you going in on this, and we'll have some more fun with it. Do want to encourage you to check things out with our friends at the Southfield County Humane Society. They're always looking for an extra hand, or maybe if you have some extra food, especially if you have extra cat food, they could really use that right now. We are in cat season. Yeah. You can find out more by going to SWCHS.com, SWCHS.com. Encourage you to do that and be listening this Thursday, every Thursday, to kick off the 9 o'clock hour. We have our Pet of the Week from the Southfield County Humane Society. Mm-hmm. We'll take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun here on The Morning Show, WFHR, locally grown radio.
8.
Welcome back, everyone. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Come on, Eileen. Hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James with you. This song will be in my head the rest of the day now.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Seth.
Yep. Thank you, Seth. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you, Seth.
Mm-hmm. You're like my favorite hated brother.
I just know that mischievous smile is all over his face right now. We appreciate the work, brother.
I read your birthday greeting there, Seth. Thank you so much. It made me giggle. Thank you guys for the card. That was super sweet.
We are very excited about your birthday, though. We are very excited. we ain't done either, so. We ain't done with the show either. We got another half an hour here yet, Melissa, so let's have some fun. We got that ain't right stories. Good stories coming up for you, but right now, new segment. I want to get into life hacks a little more.
Ooh, all right.
Just kind of going over some of maybe the ones that maybe aren't as well covered, or maybe ones that came up a long time ago when this whole term and a lot of this stuff first came about. We've always had life hacks. We just didn't really call them these things.
Right. No, they were called shortcuts or ways to make things easier. I mean, life hack is just a shortened, condensed version of all of those.
I think one of the best examples is most vehicles, if you look at your gas tank, there's a little arrow that points one direction or the other. That arrow is to tell you where your gas, you know.
Where your gas. It took me, sadly, a long time. I was pretty old before I figured that out.
If there's anybody out there who says they knew that at a young age, they're lying to you. There's easily somebody could have told you. But I don't think you were alone there is all I mean. I'm pretty sure a lot of us were like that. I'm pretty sure I learned that from like a random fact one day or something like when Carl and I were first doing this. It was something like that. Let's dive into some of these. Like, use a bowl as a makeshift iPhone speaker.
Oh.
Pump up the volume to any impromptu party by putting your smartphone in a bowl. The concave shape will amplify the music from its speaker. I like everything about my phone, but that part has been frustrating to me, especially because they continue to put the speakers on the bottom of the phone.
Right.
Making no sense whatsoever to anybody. Mm-hmm. How else can they come out with the 2.5 version if they don't do these things, of course, and charge you another $1 billion for it and everything?
Mm-hmm. I've done that with my hand. Like, I've cut my hand around my phone to amplify it for myself, but using a bowl, you know, it's hands-free.
I didn't want people to think that we're just going to throw these at you and we don't try them ourselves. So a lot of these I will try before we actually talk about them. And I did do this last night. It worked incredibly good.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I don't know if this makes a difference or not, but I used a cereal bowl.
Okay.
When I used a clear one, it seemed to work a little better. But I don't know if it really makes a difference or not.
Like clear plastic?
Clear glass. It was a clear glass one. So maybe actually that's it. Maybe it was glass and you know, it is the different material makes the difference.
Mm-hmm. It might.
Either way, it works a lot better than just trying to, what was that? What was that? I couldn't hear it.
Get closer. Hold it up to your ear.
I can't, and part of this is my hearing too. My after 20 plus years in radio and everything, my hearing is not been the greatest. So that's a little bit of a part of it too.
Mm-hmm.
Add a Lazy Susan to your fridge.
Yeah.
Sick of having to take 5 plastic containers out of your fridge in order to reach something behind them?
Mm-hmm.
Put a Lazy Susan on each shelf, and next time all you got to do is spin to access a food way in the back.
That's a good idea.
It's a pretty good idea. If you can manage it, physically, if it works, putting one of those in there and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you got to get a quality enough one that can handle the amount of weight you're putting on it.
I'll tell you this. If I worked in that business, in that industry, I would be copywriting in taking this idea now, like instantly.
Incorporating it into your refrigerators.
I mean, do we really need our refrigerators to have Bluetooth capability? Wouldn't this be a lot better?
Yeah, it'd be more handy for getting stuff out of the back. And cleaning, too, really.
It's an interesting one, and I think we've all done something similar to this in some ways. Program frequently used words to autofill on your phone.
Can I change ones that always pop up?
That would be nice. Yeah.
That would be better.
Yeah. I think that this may be a great hack just to help you figure out how to do that part of it, Melissa, not so much this other part. Yeah. It can be very frustrating to type on your smartphone's tiny keyboard rather than the roomy layout on a computer keyboard. Save time on on words you use often by creating custom text replacement shortcuts.
Huh.
For instance, if you type the full name out a lot to fill out forms, set up your initials to autocorrect to your name.
Hmm.
That's interesting.
That's interesting. I didn't know you could do that on your phone.
I'm not sure.
That's a life hack.
Yeah, I'm not sure I did either, to be honest with you. Yeah.
And does it work across all phone types?
Yeah, they're talking about iPhones here, so I don't know. But I got Android and iPhone are quite a lot more alike than they would like us to let you know. So yeah. I got to think that it's pretty. There's a similar way of getting about. Maybe just the names are different. That's pretty much all they do sometimes is just label things differently.
Or what menu you got to find it in.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that too. How about cooling a warm soda in 3 minutes?
Ooh.
Say you went to the fridge for a soda, only to discover that no one restocked the shelf. The cans in the pantry aren't cold, and putting one in the fridge now will take forever to cool. To have an ice-cold can in just a few minutes, put your drink in a large pot and cover it with ice. Fill the pot with water, add a couple cups of salt, and stir until the salt is dissolved. Your canned beverage will magically be cold.
Wow. Magically.
Alternatively, unless you need the portability of the aluminum can, keep it simple with a cup of ice.
Yep.
Pretty basic way of doing this, I think.
Yeah. I want a cold drink. Let's pour it over ice. Genius. Why didn't I think of that?
I feel like life, this one is the one where I'm gonna be because life hacks are supposed to be simple and quicker than the actual way, like another technique, which is
a pan full of ice, full of water and salt, and stir it for 3 minutes.
Okay, MacGyver, slow down. I'm just gonna open the can. Okay, I'm just gonna
and pour it over the ice in a glass. It seems much simpler.
I love
otherwise a waste of ice and salt.
I do love the idea of the guy at the party who thinks he's gonna. This is his thing. This is why he's invited to parties.
Didn't chill any of his beverages.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, wait, guys, I got this. And, like,
I got a cool party trick.
While he's running around looking for a bag of ice in these things, you just hear a bunch of cans just opening and just like being poured into ice. This one seems pretty interesting to me, and I have not tried this one. I wanted to, did not have a chance to. It's actually, it's one of those things you never find when you're looking for them. A water ring, like from your cup or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on a table or a coffee table or something.
See them all the time when you don't want to, but of course when you're trying to like prove a life, whether a life hack works or not, you can't find them. But this is an interesting one. Use a hair dryer to get rid of water rings. So you forgot to use a coaster once or many, many times, and now your nice coffee table is covered in white water rings from the bottom of your glass. Mm-hmm. Luckily, you can banish them with a hair dryer. Blast the strains with a low heat setting until they start to disappear. When they're gone, rub a little bit of olive oil on the spot to recondition the wood.
Okay. So you're just dehydrating it,
basically. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That is pretty interesting. It feels like one of those ones, too, like our parents knew. It feels like an old one for some reason to me. I don't know why, but it feels like one that's been around a while.
I think that, especially you're talking about older generations, they had a different relationship with their belongings than we do.
Mm.
As far as, like, the amount of money that was spent to have a nice coffee table.
Yeah.
And they wanted to keep it, or it was a hand-me-down from a previous generation, or you want to take care of the things that you have. I think previous to, I have a book on this stuff, James. It's not called Life Hack. Mm. Okay, it's all the things my grandmother taught me, or something like that.
Yes, I know that book. I know what you're talking about. I've seen it before. Yeah, that's a great title. And
I don't know if that's the title exactly, but it was published in like the, I want to say the maybe 30s or 40s.
Yeah, I can see the book you're talking about. I know I've seen it. I don't know how much of it I've read, but I know the one you're talking about. That may be a great one to look on, Melissa. And the next time we do this segment, like pulling from that a little bit.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to find it.
Mm-hmm. One more for you, everybody. Boil salt water to get rid of burn marks.
Ooh.
The good news, you cooked yourself a lavish meal. The bad news, now there are burn marks on your pan. Instead of resigning yourself to ages of hard scrubbing, follow this tip from Martha Stewart. Fill the pot or pan with cold water and 2 to 3 tablespoons of salt and let it sit overnight. The next day, bring the water to boil, pour it out, and do a final wash with soap.
Okay.
That should get rid of it. So again, fill the pot or pan with cold water or in 2 to 3 tablespoons of salt. Let it sit overnight. Next day, bring that water to a boil, pour it out, do one more little wash over. Should be good.
Hmm. Cool.
You're welcome. Yeah. I don't know.
We've solved all your problems.
Yes, yes. I have no idea if it'll work or not. I hope it does, though.
But I did find the book. It's called Grandmother's Household Hints, and it was published in 1963. That was when it was copyrighted. So next time we do this segment, I'm going to have some gems to pull out of here.
I will give you a heads up when that's coming.
Good.
Because I really like that idea. I like doing this. Mm-hmm. This will be a fun tag team
for
us.
See how many of them coincide with, we found the most amazing life hack. Oh, yeah, but Grandma knew about this in the 60s.
Right, yes, exactly. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. That should be fun. We'll have that coming up for you. When we get back from break, we're going to get into how effective different teeth whitening products are.
Oh, yes. I want to talk about that.
Coming up on the morning show here at WFHR. We're going to have some fun right now as we get into some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day. And we're going to talk about this one right here. There are plenty of products out there promising to make your teeth white instead of their current delicious whatever color they are. Here's how effective different teething whitening products are and how long they last. And spoiler, no, none of them make your teeth white permanently.
Correct.
A professional whitening by the dentist will last from anywhere from 6 months to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Using custom fitted teeth whitening trays at home will last for about 6 months to a year.
Okay.
Crest white strips and other similar products last for about 6 months after you use them for somewhere between 20 to 40 days.
Yeah, it's a long time. I tried those ones, and it got to the point where my teeth hurt.
Mm.
Like, it hurt to put them on, so I stopped.
And tooth whitening pens only work for a short time, like a touch-up before you get photos taken.
Hmm.
We have been doing a really good job in society about being much better about people's body sizes and looks and nerd culture and pop culture and all these things. And we've gone a long ways with a lot of these things. There's certain stuff we still got a lot of work to do on. And actually, we got a lot of work to do on a lot of those things anyway, still. But when it comes to people's teeth, we have not made a budge anywhere. Have we gotten better about ways to fix our teeth? Yes. Has dental insurance gotten better? No. Have we become more accepting as a society of people who don't have perfect teeth? No. We still shame people. Well, mm-hmm. And we do it to ourselves. Almost every picture you see of a person who is not showing their teeth in that picture, most of the time it's because, not, I shouldn't say most of the time, a lot of the time it is that. Sometimes it's people who aren't comfortable with their smile, like myself, but I also don't have the world's best teeth. And that's it's an issue for a lot mm-hmm. of people. I don't blame them when it comes to that. Hey, I can't afford to have veneers or some of these things done. I'm going to mm-hmm. buy a $5 Crest white strip or something like that and give that a shot. Mm-hmm. Here's the catch, though. And I think that your dentist would tell you this. I think that most of these products even say it on the labeling while it is in small print. Enamel is good for your teeth. These things tend to hurt that enamel.
I think they can if they're abrasive.
Well, if you're using them like some of the they're telling you, like, not using them in some of the ways that they're telling you to in these products.
Yeah, you always got to follow the instructions for sure.
But you mentioned using them and your teeth hurting.
I
don't know anybody who hasn't used these and hasn't told me that they don't feel it affect their teeth in some way or another. I'm not trying to scare people from them or anything like that. And, please, teach their own. And I always think it's a good idea to talk to your dentist or doctor before any of these kind of things.
Yes.
But just my experience and from the people that I know that have used them. But you've had a different, or how have it been for you?
Well, and this was a long time ago, and, maybe I wasn't following the label correctly. Maybe I was wearing them too long, because it, you don't always set a timer when it says keep it on your teeth for a certain number of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I talked to my dentist about it, because I asked, she recommended using a whitening product over the counter, and said that they're better than doing, because what they can do at the dentist office is going to whiten your teeth very much. But it's not going to change. Like for me, I have fillings on my front teeth, on my top front tooth and my bottom front tooth. No whitening product is going to whiten a filling.
Yeah.
Because it's permanently colored. We discolor our teeth by what we eat and drink. So it is possible to reverse that to some extent. I would take the stance of it's safe as long as you follow the label directions and don't be excessively abrasive on your teeth.
Mm-hmm. I think it's well said. Time to go to our feature that ain't right story of the day. And this is something that has been going wild on Reddit. Someone on Reddit asked women to name the weirdest places a guy has ever taken them on a date. And man, there are some good ones on here. They're so good that we are going to do this this segment again a number of times. So this isn't the last time.
There's so many.
Yes. So just for now, for today's That Ain't Right feature, we got a good one here. 2 weeks into dating, a guy took a girl to his grandfather's funeral and introduced her as his special friend.
Oh.
Yikes.
As a date.
And they were dating for 2 weeks.
Wow.
They had been on three previous dates. This was date number four.
Let's go to a funeral together.
Man.
And you can meet my whole family.
The only way I feel like that could be worse is if it wasn't like you were crashing a funeral. Like, that's the only way I could think of that being worse. I can't.
Let's go on a date to some random funeral. That would be worse.
I mean, as ridiculous as that sounds, it does sound that much more ridiculous than taking somebody to a funeral for a date. I don't know. I don't know which one is worse, actually. I will say, I know the way my fellow men think. We love if we can get, you know, two things done at once. That kind of thing. And we got to introduce her to the family anyway. You know, everybody's getting together for the funeral. Ah, two birds.
Why not?
Here we go.
Yep. Get that out of the way.
Where are you going? What did I do?
It was
bringing you to the funeral. Okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah, go keep going. Yeah, you're right. All right.
Yeah, that was maybe a little much.
Wait, she was my ride. Wait. there are a number of these of guys taking a woman on a first date to an adult bookstore or a gross movie theater.
Ooh, that's bad form.
Yeah, I gotta wonder sometimes if you don't want to succeed at dating, like
right? That seems like self sabotage.
It really does. Yes, absolutely. I'm really getting the theme from this one here a little bit.
I mean, that's right up there with let's go to a strip club for our first date.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, really, really feels like, you know, you're not reading the room here at all, guy. You're not. A guy picked a woman up for dinner after she chose the restaurant. Then he drove the wrong direction for 30 minutes before she said anything. It turned out he didn't know where the place was, but didn't want to admit it.
Oh, what?
Oh, man.
How is that even possible?
Oh, man. especially in today's day and age.
Well, yeah, you just put it in your phone.
I mean, yeah, just... I like many, like every single person in human history, I am guilty of pride sometimes, of pride keeping me from doing something smart or what have you or whatever, but not with the direction thing. That's one of those ones that is silly to me.
Well, that's so silly. Did he just hope that he was suddenly going to come upon it?
He's just going to run into it.
Like,
it's
just going to randomly appear? Or
no, I can't.
I mean, and good on the girl for being like, not overbearing, but 30 minutes is a little long. I probably would have asked after or immediately, do you know where it is?
Yeah. I can't prove this, but I guarantee you that he just thought he was going to run into the place eventually. I'm almost positive that's exactly what was happening.
Long enough.
Just, maybe she won't notice me.
Wow.
That is too good. That is going to wrap up our That Ain't Right stories, but we will come back to that one. Oh, we're not letting that one go. We'll come back to that one. I didn't even scratch the surface on some of those.
No, and I didn't share mine. I think I'll save it.
But we do. Oh, good. Yes. Okay. Yeah. even better. I was going to have, but no. We'll save it. I think that's a good idea. Let's save it. I will say, I'll think about it for myself too. Because I honestly haven't, I know I've got at least one or two. I'm sure of it. I don't think that I obviously didn't do it meaningfully, but I'm sure that I have done. You know, the first one I'm thinking of, I was dating a girl. We had only been dating for a couple months and it was high school. So a couple months in high school means a little different than as an adult.
Yeah.
And I really liked her, so I thought I'd bring her to Sunday dinner at my Nana Papa's house. And we come there and she didn't like Italian food.
Oops.
Yeah. And I didn't warn her that that's, you know, we're an Italian family and all this stuff and everything.
It was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Very awkward. Very, very awkward. It was rough. It was rough. I'll say it was rough. Nobody treated anybody bad. Everybody handled themselves well and everything. But I'm literally like, I can feel the awkwardness still. And that was like in eighth grade or something.
Yeah. And that's the worst time, too.
Not one of my smarter moves.
Well, you learn from it, though, right?
Sort of, yeah. Go to some good stories of the day. Firefighters in Michigan pulled a guy from a Jeep that flipped on a set of train tracks last Friday, and their dash cam got it all on video. A train barreled through and nailed his Jeep 20 seconds later.
Oh, wow.
It's like an action movie watching this. It's intense. And honestly, I wouldn't recommend people to watch it if we did not know, you know, where this was going
that
and everything.
He was okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good video, though.
Scary.
I would do recommend if you could use a good kick, you know, a good jump to your soul. It's a good life bump there. A young dolphin got into a creek in Clearwater, Florida this month and couldn't find its way to the ocean for over 2 weeks.
Oh, no.
So 28 people teamed up to help it. Its only way out was through a gap under a small bridge. So they stood shoulder to shoulder in the creek to make a wall of people the dolphin couldn't get past. They slowly walked together in a line and corralled it until it got past the bridge and swam off.
No.
Employees from an aquarium helped organize the rescue and posted a video of the whole thing online. Again, it's really worth watching. It really is.
Warm your heart, yeah.
And no one knew about this guy's good decisions. We talked about this the other day. I just want to reference it one more time because he's a hero. 80-year-old Air Force veteran named Hobie Childress passed away in Alabama last month. And for nearly a decade, he'd been giving $100 a month to his local pharmacy to cover people who couldn't afford their medications. He told his kids shortly before he died. Until then, no one had knew that only one who knew was the pharmacist, and he swore swore to her secrecy. It's just a beautiful story.
That is awesome. And then the town stepped up and continued it. That is so cool.
Yeah, the town keeps doing it too. You're right, Melissa. That's just an added bonus on top of bonus. Mm-hmm. Speaking of added bonuses, Civic Media's got their $1 million advertising giveaway going on right now. You've got 1 day, 23 hours and seconds away from this. Mm-hmm. Such a fun event.
Head to the website, civicmedia.us/million. Bookmark that website. So it's super easy for you Thursday morning, the 26th, after 9 a.m. to just jump on the website, put your information on there, choose WFHR Morning Show is where you heard it, and then you will get a chance to win free advertising with Civic Media. Nothing, there's no strings attached to this. It's free advertising.
Yeah, we want you to be a part of this one, everybody. Go to civicmedia.us/million to find out more, and be sure to sign up for the reminder, and as Melissa told you, mention the Morning Show and WFHR for some bragging rights there.
Yeah.
Good to hang out with you, Mel. We'll talk again tomorrow, okay?
Yeah, you too, James. Have a good day.
You too. Have a great one out there, everybody. Stick around for Money Magazine coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.